Hello, it's Father Jim again, once again. When I was a child, because my surname began with B, I sat in the front row of the first little school I was at when I was six. And Mrs. Long, who was the headmaster's wife, and he was a terrifying man, used to cane us. She used to teach us poetry by rote, of course, rather than by heart. And because I was in the front row, she used to use my head and bang my head with a ruler so that we kept in time. And this put me off poetry to start with. We used to say, by the shores of Gitche-Gumee, by the shining Big Sea Water stood the wigwam of Nokomis, daughter of the moon Nokomis. Well, you can see it's stuck. I used to find Catholic hymns were like that. By the cross of station keeping stood the mournful mother weeping to the last. And it's only since I left school I came to love poetry. Because poetry is able to say things that prose can't always say. It speaks to the heart and feelings as well as the head. I remember at school, the main school I was at, if you were naughty, you had to write out lines. Either I must be on time at class or something like that 100 times. Or they'd give us someone's poem to write out. Well, I tell you, if I was a poet, I would be so angry that my work of art was used as a punishment. I mean, it's outrageous. It's enough to put anyone off poetry. Well, since then, I've come to love poetry. But poetry is really to be heard, not just read. And I often wonder whether I'm worthy of broadcasting another person's work of art. I know a famous actor like Sir Laurence Olivier used to have butterflies in the wings of the stage before he went on to perform Hamlet. In other words, he didn't just say, oh, it's another matinee socket to them. He used to ponder the mystery of the character that is Hamlet. So it's with great diffidence I dare quote poetry, especially Shakespeare. If it's not up to the mark, I trust you'll forgive me. At least I'm going to do my best. Hamlet was sometimes very depressed and had an idea of human beings that were negative. And here's one of his statements. I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises, and indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave overhanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire, why, it appears no other thing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapours. What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god, the beauty of the world, the paragon of animals, and yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me, no, nor woman neither, though by your smiling you seem to say so. Poor Hamlet. He'd listened to what everyone else had told him about the beauty of a human being and the creation. It was in a bad mood. So I'd like to speak today to those who are feeling depressed or in a bad mood. We all have seasons. We go through winters and summers. sometimes at our heights and sometimes at our depths. Let's try and remember God is always there. Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depths be praise. Real life isn't all summer. There are harsh winters. But if we feel we're going through a harsh winter, don't expect to produce strawberries. Sometimes people scold themselves because they're not producing strawberries. No strawberries in January in the Northern Hemisphere. It's all right. It's all right to be fallow. It's all right not to have blossom, not to have sap shooting, not to produce fruit. Because in winter, an amazing thing happens. There's nothing to be seen, but below ground level, in the soil, a miracle is happening. Otherwise, as T.S. Eliot said in Murder in the Cathedral, we'll only have a sour spring. So if you're feeling down, just be there and let the Lord come and kiss you better in your own time. And whatever you do, don't listen to people who tell you to cheer up. That's our problem. We can't when we're down. We need someone who'll be willing just to accept us where we are and how we're feeling. And that is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit comes to us just where we're at, high or low, summer or winter, night or day. He is our companion. So you might find this little poem by the famous American poet Longfellow. It's called A Psalm of Life. Tell me not in mournful numbers life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act, that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Art is long, and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb, driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury their dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing, leave behind us footprints on the sand of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labour and to wait. To me, that is a wonderful poem about the sacrament of the present moment. Let the past go, let the future see to itself. I am with you, says the Lord. Present indicative, present tense, today, I am with you. Amen.